On this episode of History Worth Saving, a story of redemption, a story of forgiveness, a story about a father and a son. I love these kind of stories, and I don't care where you're at in your life. This story is one that's worth listening to. It's this episode of History Worth Saving, and I am so glad that you have decided to tune in today. Listen, if you're not already a fan of the site, please do so. Subscribe to the podcast. Listen, if you forward this to somebody and they subscribe, holy cow, I get so excited about that when we have a new listener sign up because, I mean, let's be honest. There's not a whole lot of money involved in this, but when we have a new listener, it makes it worthwhile because someone else is engaged and your friend is engaged. They become our friend. And that's what this is all about. Telling great American stories, focusing on our own backyard first. I have said it, I don't know how many times, but if we don't know each other, we can't like each other. And if we can't like each other, we certainly can't love each other. And that's what leads to understanding, to everything that needs to happen in our country. We are so divided right now. We're so divided. I don't know if we can get back. I like to think we can. I pray that we can. Because as I've said before on this show, America, this grand experiment, is something that is worth fighting for. Countless thousands have died for it. And it's up to us today to keep it going and save it. And the guy that we're talking to today is a man who knows all about that. And he is a true servant leader in his own community. Get this. Harvey Williams, once a pusher of drugs on the streets of Florida, found forgiveness and today has become a preacher. But we're not talking about religion today. We're talking about forgiveness and redemption from a completely different perspective. And I want to welcome Harvey today to the show. Harvey, you had quite a life. You were an author of numerous books. I'm just going to say it that way. I've read four of them. And the one I'm holding in my hand right now, I just love the title, From Pusher to Preacher. You were a drug counselor, and somehow that led you to drugs.
Yes.
Walk me through that, because you don't hear that a lot. You don't hear it going the other way.
Yeah, people are always shocked whenever I disclose that. But I guess I have to go back. I think every man is born with a gift, you know, and I believe my gift, one of my gifts is strongest gifts really is to counsel. I tend to see things that's not as difficult as some people might. I've counseled people from all walks of life, where they were homeless, they was accountants, they was lawyers, they was doctors and that type of thing. And they've always seemed like amazed. Well, you know, I hadn't thought about that. I didn't know that. So that's a natural gift. Okay. And that's fine. But human knowledge or human wisdom or earthly wisdom, I learned the hard way, is does not give peace of mind. That there's something I was missing, and for years I fought that, and that was I refer to it as God. Some people like to say higher power, but whatever. Because I was brought up in the church, but I left South Georgia, went down to South Florida, and I abandoned my home training. As a matter of fact, I decided when I left that I was not gonna have anything to do with church and all that type of thing. So I learned, start having difficulties, and the very thing that I said I would never do, that's the thing I ended up doing for comfort in search of peace of mind. Because all my the things that was important to my peace was relied upon things that really didn't having the power to give me peace, such as a family. Well, if everything is centered around your family fall apart, then what happens? And that's what happened with me. As a matter of fact, even the job, even I was really hurt when I was dismissed from the job. And I kind of took to selling drugs as a means of striking back at society. At that time, it was known as that striking back at the system or the man. And I decided I would sell drugs instead of saving people, trying to save people from drugs. I would sell drugs. I was angry. I was an angry young black man. I think you have that book as well.
I got that book too. It's right. Right. You don't hold back. That's what I love about you is you just don't hold back. One title, you know. Here it is: The Saga of an Angry Black Man. Young black man. I mean, and there you are on the front cover, an angry black man.
And I look angry.
You do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I use this earthly wisdom to build what I consider a value of empire. You know what I mean? I start off on the streets, and I don't want to glorify that, but I start off on the street real small. And within 6 months or so, I was off the streets. I had people working for me on the streets. And, you know, so I was using this earthly wisdom. Okay. But, I didn't have the wisdom from above, because had I had the wisdom from above at the time, I would know that the unjust shall not prosper. You might do it right for a while, but there's an end to it, you know. And that when that end came, I began to be my best customer. I started smoking crack cocaine, and it's something that I had helped introduce, especially into Central Florida, I would say, you know, you should traffic it from West Palm Beach County down to Jacksonville once or twice a week. And I kind of helped introduce that to the Duval County community. And I became and I always said I would never do this. I said, how can a person do this, man? They look and they see how it does you. Crank always sets you back. How can a person do this? But I found myself, now I understand why. And in the book, I talks about it, especially from Pushing the Preacher, By the Grace of God, Part 2. I take the reader deep into the mind of the crack addict. So when you hear the word crack or crack addict, it gives you a whole different perspective. It's not just a drug addict, but you understand the individual that's on crack. So I did it in search of peace of mind, and needless to say, you don't find it there. You know, crack always sets you back. You know,
I think when you hear this and you say, how have you repaid the debt? And
good question.
And you know, you just so everybody knows, you have continued, and will, I think, always continue to repay this debt, because that's just the kind of man that you are. But
absolutely.
Talk a little bit about that, because we only have 30 minutes, and I want to get Wade Peebles, our friend, will not listen beyond 30 minutes. He'll turn it off. So we got to get it all in for Mr. Wade, because he's got rutabagas to cook and Conway Twitty to listen to. So let's hurry along here. But you did. Okay. You ran into the law enforcement issue a little bit, but once you got past that, things started to change for you just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, my philosophy is, and maybe someone else, I haven't heard it, but this is what I believe. What happened to me. Once my mindset changed, my behavior changed, and once my behavior changed, my life changed for the better. So, as far as paying back, I have people that they'll tell me, you could have been a lawyer, you could have been doing this and that, and I kind of quit back. If I had been a lawyer, you have to pay me for this information, this advice you're getting free right now.
Right.
but I'm very active in the community. Look, man, this is my heart. I want to help. I hunger to help. And it only dawned on me a year or so ago that why do I have this drive? Well, I'm driven because I want to pay back. You know what I mean? The damage I've done, I want to pay back. And I'm always searching for ways to do that. Even with the pictures, I learned that it brings joy to people. So I get out there and I'll sweat. And I know that's kind of a different story, but I want to pay back. And I know I can't, but I want to. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to.
That makes perfect sense. You are one of the finest nature photographers I have ever seen.
From
down in South Georgia there, Willacoochee, where you're from. You've given back in other ways too, and I want to talk about this a little bit. You are a pastor now. You're a pastor down at a church down there where folks can come and hear you preach, and they can hear you you teach. And I think that with everything that's going on today in this country, with the divide that is so deep, and whether or not you are on one side or the other is irrelevant in this discussion. That what's happened is there is such a divide, and to have a man like you who not only has been in those shoes but has recovered, to me it seems like we need more Harvey Williams right now. We need more Harvey Williams in the church, in the community, and willing to serve. And you are, in fact, you're running for county commissioner this November. It's your second time running. And you want to serve in every way, whether it's the photography, whether it's local government, whether it's the church. I think it's great, Harvey. And I think that you're a humble man doing it too. Nobody's getting rich off this. You are doing your best to get your life lessons out there. And I think it's wonderful. How many books now? Four that I've got.
Five
now.
One I did not send you. It's Sarah Stepping in the Darkness. It tells the story of my foster sister who was also a crack addict, and she died, I think, at 31 or 32 from AIDS. And that book have been known to make grown men cry. It's one of the saddest books I probably will ever write. And I will send you a copy of that.
Well, I want to ask you something, because after reading all of these, one thing that came up is, how can a man with so much pain and so much grief be where you're at today with forgiveness and love in his heart?
I don't want to jump religion, but my faith is strong. I'm a Christian, and my faith is very strong. And there's no doubt in my mind that if any man be in Christ, any man become a Christian, he becomes a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. That does not mean he's perfect, but his mindset, the way he thinks, the way he behaves, it changes.
You've been that a lot. Behavior changes. Behavior changes. It changes who you are. So to the guy sitting there in the feed store hearing this morning, and the lawyer in his office listening to this as he's driving home to his family, how do we change our behavior to change our country and get it back where we need to be, where we can have civil conversations and friends who might not agree with us? I mean, what needs to happen, Harvey?
Matt, practically everything I do is centered around love, peace, and harmony. And I don't just seek those things, I pursue them. So that's what everything is based around. That's in my heart. That's who I am. And I'm going to say something that's not popular with especially African-Americans, but it's true. I do not favor one race over another. It's strictly content of character with me. I don't care if it's black, silver, blue, it doesn't matter. Content of character. That's how I judge all men.
It's the prejudging that hurts, isn't it?
Yes.
It's that initial instinct that we've got to get beyond. And
yes.
You figure that out, Harvey. And we could set sail. Is that a behavior? I mean, that's where I'm going with this. Is that a behavior?
You mean the prejudging?
Yeah.
Yes. I had someone on Facebook to say something about you blacks need to understand this. Well, usually I overlook racism. I've got on Facebook, I have some racist African Americans, Facebook friends, and Caucasians, and I'm sure some Hispanics. So I usually overlook that. But this particular post, I had asked the question, what blacks are you talking about? And then, because to me, that's just racist. That's throwing everybody in the same pot. I have a problem with that. I'm a man. I don't belong in the same pot. So I think this behavior, I want to say it's learned. I really hope people are not born that way, man. I don't know. But I also believe this. I believe there's much more love in the world than there is hate. I believe that.
I would agree with you. I think individual to individual, it's always a different. It's always a different story, right? I mean, it always is a different story. I get along with you, but you know, this other guy, you know, not so well. Okay, that's content of character. I understand what you're saying. And when people start talking crime stats and everything, look, there's no question. There is a crisis. There is a crisis going on in our communities, and it's not a black community or a white community. It's our community, and there is a crisis. There's a lot of other angry young men. Who were living the life that you lived, and you're right. You're absolutely right that you cannot discount that, and you've got to talk to them. You've got to love them. You've got to get them out of this. And quite frankly, it's a question of economics a lot of time. I mean, how do you talk to a kid that's making $4,000 a week selling drugs, and you say, look, why don't you go in debt and go to school or learn a trade? You know, don't do this. Well, what do you mean, don't do this? That's a hard conversation.
I believe in preventative maintenance, man. And this is what I mean. Okay, sure, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, but I'm not necessarily one of those "yes, Jesus loves me" preachers. I used the Bible, the Word of God, and I incorporate it into everyday living. You understand? I teach them if you follow this guideline, this is what's going to happen. And I instill that in them. I have made a vow. I have quite a few youth in the church where I pastor. I have made a vow, Matt. And that vow is, we're not going to lose not even one to the streets, dropout, drugs, violence, prison, a violent death. I've made that commitment. I made that vow approximately 5 years ago. And so far, it stayed holds. That's my goal, man.
I think it's an admirable one, and I think it's just phenomenal. I've never heard a pastor say that, and I've never heard a man say that who shepherds the community. I said this because it is a relationship between father and son, and what you're talking about and what I'm talking about are the same thing, and I think that has been the secret to your success, if there is a secret. You've made it pretty clear in this show what you're doing, but I think you're right. I mean, we need shepherds, we need fathers, we need men to step up and take this responsibility, not just in your community or mine, but across this country. We need people to step up and say, look, and when I say that, I don't mean man or woman. I mean, we need people to step up and fulfill these needs and these roles, because quite frankly, we're going to lose it if we don't. And that's not a left or a right. That's just a fact that there are other folks in the world who don't want to see us succeed. I mean, I understand that, you know, and they're doing everything they can, especially today through social media and other stuff. And this is not tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. This is known fact. And I've talked about it a lot on this show, and so I know you understand it, and I know Harvey understands it. But walk me through this. Walk me through this Harvey Williams mindset when it's all said and done, Harvey, and the dust has settled. What are you hopeful that people remember about you and about the man that you have become?
He fought a good fight to bring about love, peace, and harmony. He gave it all. He gave it all he had. That's what I want people to remember.
And of course, your photographs that you take I mentioned Wade earlier. Wade runs a big Facebook group called Georgia Folk and Farm Life. If you haven't heard of it and you live in the state of Georgia, you better go find it, because there is a treasure trove of great stories and a lot of your images, and it's everybody. There's over 65,000 people that yes. that follow this community, and it's black, white, as you said, silver and blue, and all in between on there mm-hmm. that make up the fabric of the state that you and I call home, Harvey. And I think what's so cool about that is that's what drew me here. I mean, I'm a native Texan, but I got to Georgia in adulthood. And one of the things that I love about the South is it's just out in the open. Everything's out in the open. I mean, yeah. we've had protests here with everything that's going on, but nothing like we've had in Portland and other cities. And it's, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, Harvey, but to me, the South is just, we are who we are and everything is out on the table.
Yeah. Well, we get a bad rap, really. And I mentioned 3 or 4 years ago about how Georgia gets such a bad rap, but yet the biggest of the problems, especially when it comes to race, is in the Midwest, you know, the Midwest and the North and all that. The good old South, we pretty much getting along. We have some differences, but for the most part, we get along. I never would have thought that me as being a black man would have accomplished some of the things that I have in this little small area. I've just been really blessed.
Yeah, in South Georgia, which make no mistake was the ag epicenter, especially, you know, pre-Civil War and
absolutely
during Reconstruction, Jim Crow, and all of that stuff. I mean, you're not going to find a place where it was stronger than down there in South Georgia.
That's right.
Talk to the sons and the daughters, because you know when I listen to you and when I hear you speak, I can't help but hear the love of a father coming through. And I think that mm-hmm. I think that your own father, and I say that inclusively, I think he's got to be proud. And I think he's got to be happy with the work you're doing down there and the work yeah. that you're going to be doing. But just for a second here, give the word. I asked you about what you want to do. What do you hope that we can do? Because that's the real question. And that's the real Harvey Williams right there.
This is what I want. I want every man, every young person, every young lady, every young man, regardless of race, to strive to be the very best that he or she can be. And whatever, and they're the only people that can hold you back, in my opinion, is yourself. Mm-hmm. Matt, 95% of the things I've ever tried to achieve before I changed my life, I was able to do that because I really wanted to. You know what I mean? I believe if a person set their mind to something, they really want to do it, they can do it. Now, that 5% probably has to do with not being able to play the electric guitar or the keyboard or something like that. But for his achievements, you know, man, there's no limit.
I want to get into something real serious now, Harvey.
Sure.
In the last few seconds here. Your wardrobe changed considerably. You went from Earth, Wind, and Fire to a banker.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. These covers of your books are just fantastic. I love the shirt from you and from Pusher to Breacher. And then there you are with your collar. Talk to me about that. Talk to me about this physical transformation that took place.
Okay.
It's incredible. And I think anyone that reads these books is going to see what I'm seeing.
Okay. Again, this is not very popular saying, but I mean, it is what it is. I want to be viewed as a man, not a black man. I want to represent humanity, not necessarily just black folks. So I don't dress up. The wardrobe changed. because I want to be identified as a man. And I don't know if I can explain it any better than that or not. I have nothing against people who dress different or represent this or that, but I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
I'm not a part of, I don't support any special interest group.
Here I am just giving you a hard time about the shirt. And then I love it. Right between the eyes. Here we go. Just right between the eyes. That's the Harvey Williams. That is the Harvey Williams that I love. I love your writing. By the way, folks can find you in the local newspaper where you write a column. And tell everybody who's listening how they can find your column. Because it is. It's always right between the eyes. It's filled with love.
Atkinson County Citizen. I think I'm quite sure they have a website.
Yeah, the Atkinson County Citizen, where you can read Harvey's columns and, of course, his books and everything in between.
Yeah. Harvey, now the books. I'm working on the website. If I can ever stop taking pictures long enough, I'm going to do a website. But the books are available on eBay on their Buffalo _blue52.
We will link to there in the show story. Now I will say this: your Nature Jack Hanna collection that you wear is just phenomenal. I love the hat, and every time I see you, from the pictures that folks take and that you post, you look like you're right out there in the jungle. You might as well be in the woods in the Sahara or somewhere in a swamp or where. I don't know how you get these animals to pose for these pictures the way that you do, but Harvey, it is a talent. It's a God-given talent, straight from the Father to you. Because I'm serious. You have some amazing work, and I thank you for sharing it. And I love the hat. The hat is good.
Well, thank you very much, Matt.
I love it, and I've enjoyed you being here. As we wrap things up, give me the 10-15 second Harvey Williams mentoring speech. Because I want everybody to hear it.
I'm available 24/7. I'll help anybody. I want everybody, again, this is my goal. When it comes to mentoring, is to instill in people to pursue love, peace, and harmony. If you do that, man, if everything you do is centered around that, it makes you a good person, and it makes the person next to you a good person. It just radiates love, peace, and harmony. Don't just seek it, pursue it. And what I mean by pursue it, go out of your way to make it happen. That's who I am. That's what I mentor. That's what I teach.
Yeah. Get out there and do it. Love,
yes.
Peace, and harmony. It sounds so simple. It sounds so cliche. But Harvey, you're absolutely spot on. If you do that, everything just kind of falls into place, doesn't it?
Amen.
At the end of the day, that's what being a good father is all about.
Amen.
Redemption. I told you a father and son story about redemption and forgiveness. Be a Harvey. Be a Harvey Williams. Find him online. Harvey, I can't thank you enough for coming on with me today.
Well, man, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, you know what we're going to go do? We got to get Wade. The three of us got to get together. We got to get together, and we got to go listen to some Conway Twitty, Wade's favorite.
Yeah.
We'll eat some rutabagas, and we'll have some fun. I don't do catfish. Do you? I can't stand
catfish. Well, I like catfish, you know.
I just don't like catfish. No, I don't like what they stand for. I just don't like them. I've come to have a deep hatred of catfish for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I see. Okay.
But, and I don't like any fish that looks like a fish when it's on the plate. I don't like that either. But
oh yeah.
I'll get past all of that, and we'll go have some real food. I'm looking forward to it, Harvey. Thanks again,
so
bud.
Okay, brother.
We'll talk soon. Harvey Williams, everybody. You can find him online, and please, if you would be so kind, subscribe to our newsletter at historyworthsaving.com. Until next time, get out there and know your neighbor. We'll see you next week.